As we turn to Scripture, we want to first of all read a selection from Psalm 119. And as we turn to the 119th Psalm, we want to read the verses 41 through 48. Every now and then it's important that we be reminded as to the basics in terms of our pilgrimage. And one of the basics is the very Word of God and the importance that the Word of God needs to hold in our lives. And to that end, our scripture readings speak and our confessional readings also echo the beautiful teaching of God's Word. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 41, we read scripture in the knowledge that while the grass withers and the flower fades, the word of our God endures forever. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed, and I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. So far from Psalm 119, and then that familiar section that speaks of the power of God's word from 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul has been instructing his understudy, young Timothy. Timothy engaged in the ministry, beginning his ministry. And at verse 10, we read, "But you," that is Timothy, "have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and being assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So far. And then let's first turn to the Belgic Confession. From the Belgic Confession, we want to read Articles 5 and 7. Back of our Psalter hymnals, page 856. Article 5, dealing with the theme of the authority of Scripture. The books of the Bible were enumerated in Article 4, and now in Article 5 we read the following words. We receive all these books and these only as holy and canonical for the regulating, founding, and establishing of our faith. And we believe without a doubt all things contained in them, not so much because the church receives and approves them as such, but above all because the Holy Spirit testifies in our hearts that they are from God, and also because they prove themselves to be from God. For even the blind themselves are able to see that the things predicted in them do happen. And then Article 7, dealing with the sufficiency of Scripture, begins this way: we believe. And to say that we believe is an almighty gift of God's grace, that we may believe. We believe that this Holy Scripture contains the will of God completely, and that everything one must believe to be saved is sufficiently taught in it. For since the entire manner of service which God requires of us is described in it at great length, no one, even an apostle or an angel from heaven, as Paul says, ought to teach other than what the Holy Scriptures have already taught us. For since it is forbidden to add to or subtract from the Word of God, this plainly demonstrates that the teaching is perfect and complete in all respects. Therefore, we must not consider human writings, no matter how holy their authors may have been, equal to the divine writings. Nor may we put custom, nor the majority, nor age, nor the passage of time or persons, nor councils, decrees, or official decisions above the truth of God, for the truth is above everything else. For all human beings are liars by nature and more vain than vanity itself. Therefore, we reject with all our hearts everything that does not agree with this infallible rule, as we are taught to do by the apostles when they say, "Test the spirits to see if they are of God. And also, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house." So far, the Belgic Confession, and now a word from the Heidelberg Catechism. I invite you to turn with me to Lord's Day 6, page 874. And we'll just consider the final question and answer 19. The Catechism has been speaking to us of our deliverance and who our deliverer must be, what kind of mediator we are to receive, one that is a true and righteous man and a true God, and to confess how that mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then question 19 says, well, how do you come to know this? The Holy Gospel tells me God himself began to reveal the gospel already in paradise. Later, he proclaimed it by the holy patriarchs and prophets and foreshadowed it by the sacrifices and the other ceremonies of the law. And finally, he fulfilled it through his own beloved Son. So far, our confessional reading. May the Lord continue to add his blessing as we seek to submit ourselves to the proclamation of God's word for his glory's sake. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the children in our midst may be familiar with that little song, the B-I-B-L-E. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. And indeed, God's people know what it is to make their stand, but more importantly, receive their stand on the Word of God. The Bible, God's people believe, is the record of God's Word. What the Bible says, God says. His Word is the wonderful Word of life as it comes to us in His grace and mercy through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. God the Father is the giver of the Holy Scriptures. God the Son, the theme of the Holy Scripture. God the Spirit, the author of the Holy Scripture. Some people consider the Bible to be a dry book. But if you know the author, then the Bible is to you a refreshing stream of water. And either the Bible will keep you from sin or sin will keep you from the Bible. There is no book that can compare to the Holy Bible. As someone else has said, the Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable, that is, unchangeable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. We are also to understand that the Bible is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, the Christian's charter. Here in the Scriptures, we read of paradise restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good is its design, and the glory of God is its end. Scripture should fill our memory and rule our heart and guide our feet. And we're called to read it slowly and frequently, prayerfully, to recognize that it is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. The Bible has been given to each one of us in our life and will be opened at the judgment and be remembered forever. The Scriptures involve the highest responsibility and will reward the greatest labor and condemns all who trifle with its sacred contents. Clearly, congregation, when we hold the Bible in our hands, when we open its pages and take its words to our lips, it is no small thing. It is something that God has given to us in His great, great mercy. And we know that when we look at the Scriptures closely, we see there's a unique harmony in the Bible. We think of the hundreds of prophecies that were fulfilled exactly as they were predicted. And we see that line of promise, hold fast, God's faithful covenant promise remain. The single thread that binds the whole of Scripture together is the fulfillment of the promise fulfilled in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the blessed mediator of the covenant of grace. And the Bible does not break away from its theme. And with respect to the harmony of Scripture, think only for a moment of the first and last books, how the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation are related. In Genesis, the earth is created. In Revelation, it passes away. In Genesis, the sun and the moon appear. In Revelation, there is no need for the sun or the moon. In Genesis 3, there is a garden, the home of man. In Revelation, there is a city, the home of nations. In Genesis, we are introduced to Satan. In Revelation, we see his doom. In Genesis, we hear the first sob and see the first tear. In Revelation, we read God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. In Genesis, the curse is pronounced. In Revelation, we read, there shall be no more curse. In Genesis, we see our first parents driven from the tree of life. In Revelation, they are welcomed back. Indeed, congregation, we must hold to the conviction of the basics. And the basics found in the scriptures, the basic is the Bible itself. To take an example from Christ's ministry, to see harmony in that ministry, very early on, Christ was tempted to throw himself down from the mountaintop. And then when on the cross, he was again tempted to come down, to take leave of the cross. We might say that those two moments formed a bracket in the ministry of Christ. And that we have God's own word in our own hands. Some of you have several Bibles in the home. Trust that you're reading God's word at home. That we have this word in our hands is a wonder to behold. Some places of the world, they beg for the scriptures. They have no Bibles. How important scripture distribution, scripture translation. Some places, just a page or two that they have obtained one way or another. The thirst for God's word lives, and it must live amongst us. God has not left us in the dark, but given us light by which we might see. And with the psalmist, we confess, in thy light we see light. Light to understand our journey in this dark world of sin. Who is that light? Why, it is our blessed Redeemer. Lord's Day 6 describes for us the basic attributes or qualities of our needed mediator so that we might be delivered. That's our need, to be delivered from our sin and misery. And we recognize that the Bible teaches that our Redeemer, our Deliverer, must be at the same time true God and a true righteous man. Who's the one that can mediate between God and man, between the Almighty and ourselves? We need that one who can come, as it were, in between. And we confess it to be the blessed Savior, whom God made our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. How do we know this? Question 19 has asked and answered. The Bible tells me so. This is revealed to us, shown to us in the Bible. We get accustomed to the scriptures, and sometimes we lose sight of how marvelous it is that we have received a message from God Himself as to our deliverance. The Bible is God's book of revelation. It is His authoritative word. It's the story of God's rescue plan. It's the story of God's covenant promises and the fulfillment of those promises through the one who came to be a ransom for many. And as we think on these things, as we consider the gift of scriptures, which gives us the message of the gospel, we want to spend a few moments yet on the source of the scriptures, and then secondly, rehearse again the story of the scripture. First then, the source. We speak of the Bible as one book with 66 books, one author using at least 40 distinct different authors, a book written over a period of time of some 1600 years. The Old Testament contains 39 books written approximately from the year 1500 to 400 BC. The New Testament containing then 27 books written approximately 40 through 90 AD. The Old Testament written predominantly in Hebrew with some Aramaic, while the New Testament written in Greek. We understand that the New is in the old contained, and that the old is in the new explained. The new is in the old concealed, and the old in the new is revealed. Now, the Bible itself tells us how the Word of God came to be. And the Bible explains that we receive the Holy Scriptures by means of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It is this book that God gave us is God-breathed. Just as God created from the breath of his mouth, God spoke and it was. And so too we should regard the Scriptures. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we read, "But know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God." Now, the doctrine of inspiration can be understood in this way, that God, in his good pleasure, used men, each with their own unique personalities and abilities and styles, to write what he would have written as if he took the pen himself. No, not in the sense where these men got behind, the typewriter of long ago, there was none yet, and God dictated to them word for word his word, but that God moved them to write and speak as they did in such a way that what we have in the Bible is exactly what God intended the Bible to say. We call that organic inspiration. The Holy Spirit moving the human authors to produce the biblical books. He led the church to discern their inspiration as the church came to agreement to the canon, that is, as to what belonged in the Bible. It's a very interesting study to see how the Bible came to be the Bible, and perhaps in your study group that might be a very valuable study to consider. To this day, the Holy Spirit works in the hearts of true believers so that they might know the living God, and that true believers might commit themselves to the teaching of the Scriptures, both in doctrine and life. As we read earlier in Timothy, Scripture is profitable, it is beneficial, it is strengthening, it is upbuilding. For what? For doctrine, that is the good teaching of God's word. For what? Reproof. For what? Correction. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we see the Bible as a tool in the hand of the Holy Spirit, shaping God's people for his kingdom and for his church. And if we believe the Bible is important, and we better believe that, then we seek to understand the Bible, seek what the Bible teaches, so that we might be directed in the way we should go. Holy Scripture is God's witness to himself. God reveals his plan and his purpose and his word of revelation, just as his plan and purpose is perfect. It's important for parents to instill this in the children entrusted to your care. And it's important for Christian school teachers to also stress over and again the foundation of the Holy Scripture in their lives. A scripture that we confess not only then to be inspired by the Holy Spirit, but also infallible and inerrant. And when we say infallible, we mean to say that the Bible is safe, the Bible is sure, the Bible is reliable to rule and guide in all matters. For the regulation, the foundation, for the confirmation of our faith, as we confessed with the Belgic Confession, to know that the truth cannot fail, nor fail us. And when we say the Bible is inerrant, we mean to say that the Bible is free from all falsehood or mistake, and so safeguards the truth. That the Holy Scripture is sure safe, reliable, to guide us in all matters. There are no errors. The Holy Spirit will never teach anyone which is contrary to the teaching of Scripture. You may hear from time to time people say, well, God told me to do this or God told me to do that. But if they do what is not in agreement with Scripture, you can be sure God never told them. God never tells anyone to do anything that would contradict His Word. And when we say the Bible is God's Word, we say that it is God's Word. It is His Word giving His message. His Word cannot be broken. It is given to us as food for the soul. It's to be loved by God's people, a treasure. Even as the psalmist declared, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. If you do not love what the Bible teaches, how can you love God? Scripture powerfully influences. People are converted by reading the Scriptures. The Scriptures change people by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that too, brothers and sisters, must be our testimony. If the Holy Spirit hasn't changed you through His Word, how can you say that you are a Christian? Now, the Bible itself compares itself to a devouring flame. To Jeremiah, the Lord said that He would make the words of His mouth a fire, and the people the wood it consumes. And again, the Lord said elsewhere to Jeremiah that the word of the Lord is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. The Apostle Paul declared that he was not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power, literally the dynamite of God, for the salvation of everyone who believes. The same apostle wrote the word of God as a weapon for us to take charge with, as it were, to be on the march with. In Ephesians 6 and 17, as we heard it this morning, we read, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And when we take that double-edged sword in our hands, we have a weapon of power. We ought not shy away from this testimony, beloved. The Scriptures are a probing instrument. And in Hebrews 4 and 12, we read the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. And then we can also go on to say that the Scriptures are written with a purpose. The Bible confirms for us the deity of Christ. We read in John 20 and 31, but these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. And that life is the story of the Scriptures. It is the story that was declared from the very first promise in the Bible, as we read it in Genesis 3 and 15, where the Lord promises victory over the evil one. You shall crush his head. The story of the gospel already revealed in paradise. And as one goes through the Scriptures, the Lord proclaims His good news over and again. His gospel each step of the way. The patriarchs, the prophets, they had their eye on the coming Lord Jesus. The sacrifices, all those sacrifices that we read of in the Old Testament, the ceremonies, what did they portray? Why, it was the Lord Jesus Himself. His work as our sin bearer, His work as our burden bearer, His work as our burden lifter, the sacrifice for sin, the Savior of God's people, the establisher of the kingdom, gospel, good news, the news of life eternal. The Apostle John wrote in his letter, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." In writing to Timothy, we heard that Paul say to his understudy that the scriptures were given to make him wise unto salvation. Beloved, do we possess that wisdom? Can you and I say together, yes, we have been made wise unto salvation? Now, of course, that's a gift of grace. But that story must be told in order to receive that grace. Grace is not received in a vacuum. And if we are to understand the way of salvation, if we are to receive salvation, we must know the story of salvation, redemption in Christ. And that's what our community needs. The city of Woodstock, the province of Ontario, the nation of Canada, we're in a mess. And the only way to clear up the mess is to point our fellow citizens to the truth that is bound up in our beautiful Savior. We think of what it is that we read in the opening words of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is the Word personified. Hebrews, it's all over in the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 1, we read in the first two verses, God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir over all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Brothers and sisters, may God give you in your hearts the conviction to always hold up the Bible high. Think of the psalmist. As we heard it in Psalm 119. He speaks of God's work according to his word, his trust in that word, his hope, his testimony, his meditation, and it must be the same for us. When a church begins to fail, it begins to fail because the people of the congregation have not held tight to the Word of God. Now we know that God's Word will not return void. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's Word will not. In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John wrote, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, from the things which are written in this book." Often we hear, "He who has ears, let him hear." In congregation, God has given us ears to hear. And we pray that he's given us hearts to listen, that we would indeed take the word of God very seriously, that we would honor the Lord by honoring his word. We close with these words. A generation follows generation, yet the word of God lives. Nations rise and fall, and yet it lives. Kings and dictators, presidents come and go, and yet the Bible lives on. Hated, despised, cursed, yet it lives. Doubted, suspected, criticized, yet it lives. The scriptures, condemned by atheists, scoffed at by scorners, exaggerated by fanatics, misconstrued and misstated, ranted and raved about, and yet the word of God goes forth. It lives. It tells the wonderful story of God's redemptive love. Its inspiration may be denied, and yet the Bible lives on. It lives as a lamp to your feet and to mine. It lives as a light to our path, as the gate to heaven. It lives as a standard for childhood, as a guide for the youth, an inspiration for the matured. It lives as comfort for the aged. The Bible lives as food for the hungry, water for the thirsty. It lives as rest for the weary. It lives as light for the heathen. It lives as salvation for the sinner. It lives as grace for the Christian. And beloved, to know it is to love it. And to love the Bible, to love the teaching of the Word of God, is to accept it. And to accept it means life eternal. Life in the Savior. Life in the redemptive purposes of God. Let us always be thankful for what God has given us. To praise God the Father for His Holy Spirit inspired and life-giving word through Jesus Christ. May He indeed receive our praises. Amen. Father in heaven, as we have meditated for a few moments together as to the great gift of the Scriptures, we want to thank Thee for Thy holy word. We want to thank Thee that in Thy caregiving Thou hast given us the testimony of Thy love. Thou hast given to us the message of the covenant. That Thou hast given to us in the Holy Scriptures the work of our blessed Redeemer. He who came to bring life and to give life by means of His great sacrifice. And Lord God, we pray, give us indeed a strong sense of the love that we are to have for the Scriptures that give to us the testimony of Thy loving kindness. Father in heaven, we pray that when we are struggling with our scripture reading, that Thou wilt indeed stir our souls. And when, Lord, we're having a hard time believing, Lord, give us a believing heart. When we come to difficult teachings in the Bible, humble us to search the Scriptures like the Bereans of long ago. Give us, Lord, a desire to press forward into truth delivered once for all. Father, we thank Thee that we do not live in the dark. We thank Thee, Lord God, that in Thy light we see light. And so, Lord, bless us in our scripture study, not only as individuals, as families, as congregation. Lord, may we be active in pondering the great things of God as we read the Word of God. So lead us in the week at hand. We pray, Lord, keep us in the hollow of Thy hand. We pray, Lord, bless what is awaiting Thy blessing. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.